मुकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायति गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवम्। I salute Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, by whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of our life. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Peace, peace, peace. Last time we discussed verse 9 of the 4th chapter of the Gita. Krishna said, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo vetti tvatvataha tyaktva deham punarjanma noiti mameti sorjuna. He who knows fully, wholly, completely, really, in reality, my birth and my action, he attains me after relinquishing the body. He reaches me, O Arjuna. My birth and my action are not ordinary. Divyam, alaukikam, very unnatural, not unnatural, supernatural. That Satchidananda, infinite God, existence, knowledge, bliss, absolute, that Brahman, takes a human form like you and me. So it is very unusual. You know, when we read the birth account of Christ, Krishna, Buddha, Ramakrishna, we know really their births are not like us. Something unusual. Christ's birth account you know very well. Sri Ramakrishna's father went to Gaya, which is near Benares, nearly 400 miles away from Calcutta, a holy place. And there Vishnu, the great God, appeared before him in dream and said, Sudhiram, I am very pleased with your devotion, with your love for me. I want to be born as your son. Lord, please don't come to our home. We are poor people. We won't be able to feed you. No, I want to be born as your son. You see, his birth is not ordinary. And his action is not ordinary. What is his action? Dharma sangasthapanarthaya. The divine incarnation comes to establish religion. When religion declines, I take form to preserve religion, to preserve spirituality. You see, other people are born for the fulfillment of their desires. But avatar, God, is born as a human being without any desire. But he has a motive. What is the motive? To establish religion, to bring harmony, peace in this world. Janma karma chame divyam. We have read in the Ramayana that Rama was born and killed that great demon Ravana and rescued Sita. Rama represents dharma. Ravana represents adharma, unrighteousness. Righteousness and unrighteousness. There was this fight between these two powers. And what is the outcome of the war? The outcome of the war was to release Sita. Who is Sita? Sita represents purity, chastity, all goodness. So this struggle between the righteousness and the unrighteousness And the result of the war, when the righteous party wins, it gets back its purity. What is that purity? God. Krishna used an adjective, tattvataha. Do you know fully? We know intellectually the birth account of Krishna, Christ, Buddha, Ramakrishna. We know their stories and the parables, their teachings. But we do not know tattvataha. That is a beautiful word in reality. Show me, what does it mean by tattvataha? Tattvataha means if you cannot know that person, if you are not attuned with it. I know a person, you know, in my business field, he is my client or he is my friend or he is our devotee. I know in general way, but I do not know fully. Krishna said that you will have to know me fully, wholly, in reality. That who am I? Sri Ramakrishna one day said to his disciples, look, you people come here and before you meditate, please think of me. If you think of me, your minds will be one-pointed. Because here only Divine Mother exists. Only God exists here, in this frame, in this form. So the moment you will think of me, all distractions for the world will go away. And you will get quick concentration, and that will help you. On another occasion he said, you people will not have to do anything. তিনি বলিতেন এখানে এলে গেলেই হবে আর কিছু করতে হবে না হিজ এক্স্যাক্ট ওয়ার্ডস ওনলি ইউ কাম হিয়ার ইউ উইল নট হ্যাভ টু ডু এনি কাইন্ড অফ স্পিরিচুয়াল ডিসিপ্লিনস আই শ্যাল টেক কেয়ার অফ ইট ওনলি অ্যান অবতারা ক্যান স্পিক ইন দ্যাট ওয়ান সে ওম্যান ডেভোটি কেম টু হিম অ্যান্ড সেড মাস্টার ইউ নাও শি ওয়াজ কমপ্লেনিং অ্যাবাউট হার হাজব্যান্ড Send him to me one day, I shall see. When he came, Sri Ramakrishna said, looked at him and said, what do you want? You do whatever you want to do in this world, I shall take care of you. Don't worry. Only an avatara can do that. Kapal mochan, all of your bad karma he can erase and can write new. Avatara can do that. His work is not ordinary work. Ekhane jara esheche ei tader shesh jonmo. Those who have come here, this is the last birth. Avatar can speak in that. Yoma betti tattataha. He who knows me fully will attain liberation. Punarjanma noiti. He does not get any more birth. The Swami will like to be born. If you have desire, you will seek rebirth. But if you have no desire, if you get liberation, there is no more rebirth for you. In Vedanta philosophy, we get very often this word, punarjanma, rebirth, rebirth. Because when there is birth, there is death, disease, pain, suffering. Happiness time to time a little bit is there. But you will have to pass through these series. There is no escape. There is no way to get rid of it. So Swami, how can I get maximum bliss in this life? Have Jivan Mukti. Experience that illumination which will make you living free. Free while you are living in this world. That is the highest conception of man. To attain perfection in this world, attain illumination. They call it Jivan Mukti. Mukti means liberation. Jivan means while you are living. In this very body, if you attain that illumination, that liberation, blessed you are. That is the goal of Vedanta. You know, some people may promise after your death you will go to heaven. Vedanta does not care for it. I want to taste that bliss, that illumination in this very life. That is the goal of Vedanta. You know, when you read the Vedanta scripture, you will find the last chapter is Jivan Mukti. Invariably. Last chapter is Jivan Mukti. free while living, liberated in life. That is the last chapter of all Vedanta texts. Because that is the goal of Vedanta. Mukti, free. Only a free soul can enjoy this world. A bound soul, a slave, cannot enjoy life fully. In the next verse, Vitoraga bhaya krodha manmaya mamupashritaha bahavo jnana taposa puta madbhava magataha. In whatsoever way, freed from passion, fear and anger, absorbed in me, taking refuge in me, and purified by the fire of knowledge, many have become one with my being. Pito raga bhaya krodha, freed from raga, attachment, bhaya, fear, krodha, anger, manmaya, thinking about myself, mam upashita, taking refuge in me, bhavo jnana taposa, and after practicing austerity, puta, these people get purified. Madhbhavavam agata, they reach me, they attain me. Here Krishna described the ways and means to realize God. First, free from attachment. What is the cause of attachment? Selfishness. What is the result of attachment? Desire. Vishayishu priti, attachment for the world. This attachment originates from ignorance. We are attached to the world. We are attached to the worldly objects. And that attachment invariably brings pain. Attachment brings destruction. There is a story in the Bhagavatam. A mother pigeon had some kids, and those kids were caught by the net of a hunter. And she went to bring food for her kids. When she came and saw their kids were trapped by the hunter, she jumped on the net to rescue her kids, and she was caught. And that was the cause of her destruction. Her excessive attachment for the children was the cause of her destruction. Avadhuta says, this kobutar, this pigeon, is my guru. Attachment brings pain. Swami, in this world, what shall we do? We have mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, children, friend. We'll have to love them. We should be, you know, we cannot love without attachment. That is the idea. You can love better if you are not attached. Could you give an example? Read the life of the great teachers of the world. They have tremendous love for the people, but they are not attached. Attachment means, you know, you are caught in a particular place. And love is all-pervading. Infinite. I am attached to my mother. I am attached to my father. Individuals. But I have love for my people. I am proud. Swamiji gave an example. A man is selling a portrait. A painter is selling his portrait. And the buyer is trying to give little money for that portrait. And the buyer is, and the seller is trying to get maximum money for the portrait. Both of them are not enjoying the pictures. But the passerby is looking at the picture and he is enjoying the picture. Oh, what a beautiful picture is this. The seller is thinking how much money I can get from this person. And the buyer is thinking how little money I can give for this picture. So their minds are conditioned. These two minds are bargaining, are caught. They are attached. So they cannot enjoy the picture. With passerby, he has no desire to buy that picture. He is enjoying the picture. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful impression. We are not making any progress in spiritual life because Our minds are not attached to God. We are rowing the boat without removing the anchor. The boat is tied with the anchor, with the ground, and we are rowing the boat. The boat is not moving forward. Gita will teach us how to be a full human being, strong, fearless, unattached, all-loving, hero. You see, the student of the Gita is Arjuna, the great hero of the Mahabharata. He is superb in every respect. And for the time being, he became weak out of fear and grief. Krishna is trying to remove that fear and grief from his mind so that he can stand again on his own feet. The whole spectrum of the Gita is to become a full human being, strong, energetic. Krishna never asked Arjuna to become a mendicant. He wanted to be a monk. He discouraged him. You practice your Shadharma, your own dharma, your own duty. By practicing one's own duty, many people attain illumination. He is going to quote Arjuna. He is just coming. Saṁ siddhim janakādayaḥ. Janaka, the great king, and other people attain this highest wisdom by practicing their own dharma. You will not have to go to the forest. You will not have to be a mendicant. Stay in the world. Only obey me. Mam anusmara yuddha cha. Remember me and fight. You will never be confused in this world. That is the central teaching of the Gita. Remember me. Surrender to me. I shall take care of you. About food, clothing, your other things, you will not have to think of it. Only be attached to me. Don't be attached to the world. I shall supply everything, whatever you need. That Krishna said. Second, bito raga. Second cause is bhaya, fear. What is the cause of the fear? Do you know what is the cause of the fear? According to Patanjali, the great teacher of the mind, yoga psychology, the cause of the fear is avinivesha. Clinging to life is the cause of the fear. I shall die. I shall die. This fear of losing is in the mind of man. Krishna wants to remove that fear from Arjuna's mind. Why are we afraid? Are we not the Atman? Are we not the Self? Birthless, deathless, immortal? A fear comes from ignorance of the Self. We are ignorant about our own Self. Jadvaitam tadvayam. Advaite bhayam nasti. The Upanishad says, where there are two, there is fear. In non-duality, in non-dualism, there is no fear. When a person experiences his own self, that I am the Atman, I am one without a second, he becomes completely fearless. I remember in 1946 or 47, there was a terrible riot in Calcutta. And Gandhi came, Mahatma Gandhi, to travel the devastated city. And he was walking fearlessly through that area where there was terrible massacre. And some people followed Gandhi. One of my friends also was with him. He asked Gandhi that, you know, are you not afraid? His uncle was a minister. And are you not afraid of this killing and all these things, they may kill him. He smiled and said, I have no fear. Swamiji said, that day I conquered death, the day I gave up the hope for life. Completely fear. It is another sign of spirituality. That person is really fearless. You remember when Swamiji was lecturing in this country, I think it happened in California. that some cowboys wanted to test Vivekananda's philosophy. Like you say, I am the Atman, birthless, deathless. They shot Swamiji, and some bullets passed, you know, near his ears. But he did not stop. He went on. It is in the life of Swamiji. Then these cowboys came and said, "Bravo, you are the real hero. You have no fear of death. We appreciate you. Completely fear." You know, many people are afraid of ghosts and hobgoblins. I remember a story of Totapuri, Sri Ramakrishna's guru. Once he was meditating under the Panchavati grove at midnight. A ghost, a spirit, came to him. And he was meditating. He opened his eyes and saw him. "Who are you?" "I am the spirit." "I am also a spirit. Why don't you sit down and let us meditate together?" He was completely fearless. If you and me, we would yell and, you know, shout, "Help, help, help." Pita raga bhaya krodha, anger. What is the cause of the anger? Cause of the anger is kama, desire. When the desire is thwarted, stopped, anger comes. When a person is irritated, you know, throwing away something, breaking something, invariably when he is that person is a sick person, his desire is thwarted, stopped by somebody, that reaction, eruption is coming. If you have allergy, if you eat something, your body, you know, reacts. Same thing, when a person is angry, invariably we remember that that person's mind is full of desires. He cannot control the desires, so he is in a terrible shape. That person suffers terribly. Kama isha, krodha isha, rajoguna, samudbhava, vidyenam iha vairina. In the last part of the third chapter of the Gita, Krishna said, "Do you know who are your real enemies? With desire, greed, and this anger. Greed and anger. Here are some people, their greediness is insatiable. And they suffer most. If they have one, they want another, 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 another." I remember in our economic class, one of our teachers, he was an old man. He was a wonderful teacher. He told us the characteristics of human wants. One characteristic is insatiable. One cannot be satiated. Then he gave an example. Suppose a drunkard. He drank wine up to the throat. Not a single drop can go inside his mouth, you know, it will fall. Up to this he drank, and he is telling hourly out, "Bring more." That is the horrible result of human desire. Insatiable, greed. And that greediness makes those people blind. They do not know what they are doing. Sometimes they exploit people to satisfy their greediness. Even they use religion to satisfy their greediness. Krodha kamoisha bito raga bhaya krodha. Do you know why Krishna is talking these things here? Name of this chapter is Jnana Yoga, the path of knowledge. If you want to attain this knowledge, you will have to pass through these tests. You will have to give up attachment. You don't take the attachment in a negative way, take it in a positive way. We should be attached to God. If you are attached to God, you will be able to serve your wife, husband, children, family, neighbor better. Because you will know the philosophy of your life. I love God. Same God is manifested in all these beings. So I must serve them. By serving them, I am serving God. That is the philosophy. That is the essential aspect of karma yoga. Serve man as God. If you serve man as a man, you will be disgusted in course of time. But if you serve man as God, it would be your spiritual discipline. Some people do karma yoga. I seeing them, I feel sorry, you know. It is karma bhoga. They suffer from karma. So much ego. Short temper, ego. That means that those people are not making progress in a spiritual life. Your action will tell you that what you are doing in meditation. Well, karma yoga is the test. Some people work with joy, with love, with tremendous feeling. And some people work just to show others that I am a great worker. But Krishna wants to purify those junk from the minds. So he says, Manmaya Bhava, Arjuna, fix your mind in me. Nowadays, some people teach that empty the mind, that is meditation. It is not meditation. In sleep also, our minds are empty. Is it meditation? In meditation, you must have an object. That object is God. Your guru did not ask you to meditate on void or emptiness. He fixed a chosen ideal. Concentrate on that. That is positive aspect. Excessive darkness and excessive light, both are same. Both are same, and both look alike. In deep darkness, we do not see anything. In excessive light also, our eyes dazzle. We do not see anything. So, our eyes do not see in both cases, but there is a gulf of difference. In one place it is darkness, another place is excessive light. Do you know how the Vedanta explains this phenomenon? Emotion, action is possible when there is high and low. Here is an empty lake. It has no motion. Water is not moving there because it has no connection with the ocean. So the lake is empty. Some people empty their mind and watch, you know. But if the lake has a channel and if it is connected with the ocean, then the water will enter that lake and it will fill it up. When it is full, that lake has no motion because it is full to the brim. So the empty lake and the own lake, full lake, full tank, are actionless, motionless. There is no activity. So an illumined soul's mind is full of God consciousness. And an unillumined soul's mind is full of ignorance. But externally, both look alike. Both are inactive. An ignorant person, you will find our embodiment of laziness. That means that person is horrible in deep tamas. In Gita, if really speaking, Maharaj used to say, as for spiritual discipline, you people should read one chapter of the Gita every day. A Gita will bring action, mobility in your life. Gita will destroy your depression, your stagnation of life. Gita will take your mind inward. Gita will expose the whole mind, the mystery of human life. Mam upashrita. Mam upashrita means take refuge in me. Not that one commentator mentioned this way, that, you know, the husband is earning money for food and taking care of his wife, and wife, you know, food, clothing and all these things. It is not that type of surrender. Upashrita means with love, surrender to that person. Let me give an example. A tiny fish can freely move in the water. It can go favorable current, it can go also against the current of the river. It can go in both directions. Why? Because the natural abode, home of the fish is water. But a huge elephant is carried away by the current. He cannot go against the current because the natural abode of the elephant is not the water. So he is helpless. That big gigantic elephant is helpless. But this tiny little fish has tremendous power to go against the current of the river. Because this fish took refuge in the water. So it has full freedom there. But the gigantic elephant accidentally fell into the water and was carried away by the current. He did not take refuge in the water. So Krishna says that if you take refuge in God, you can move all directions, whatever you want. He will take care of you. As I told you, these words are uttered by Krishna, incarnation of God. God himself told everything to man, what to do, how to do. Bahavo gyanotapasa puta. Arjuna, listen. Gyano tapasa, purify yourself through knowledge, through tapasya, austerity. All great works, all accomplishments are made, everything we achieved through austerity. Swami Sivananda Mahapurush Maharaj used to say, you boys work so hard for getting a BA degree. If you would give that effort for God's realization, you would realize God. I remember when before school, you know, that intermediate examination, BA examination, we had to pass sleepless nights. Sometimes we had nightmares that, oh my goodness, perhaps I could not answer all questions of my question paper. You know, so much worry. Perhaps I reached late in the examination hall. Oof, what will happen? All these worries and anxieties, you know, would play in the mind before examination. Do you think of God in that? Tapasya, austerity, disciplines are necessary. Seeing Ramakrishna's one day at Kashipur Garden House, Swami Vivekananda was crying and pacing back and forth in the Kashipur Garden House. So it was reported to Sri Ramakrishna that, you know, Naren is crying for God and this and that. When Swamiji cries, means he cries. His crying is not like you and me, you know, the moment water comes out, it dries up. His crying means crying. Intensely he felt that yearning, longing for God. Then Sri Ramakrishna smiled and said, the yearning came here, when Naren's yearning is not 100th part. So you can imagine. The yearning come here, means pointing to himself, when Naren's, Vivekananda's yearning, longing is not 100th part. When he would cry on the bank of the Ganges, village women of Dakshineshwar would come to fetch water in the afternoon. They would watch her, poor Ramakrishna, and would say, that poor man is suffering from colic pain. Yearning, longing, tapasya. Sri Ramakrishna mentioned, you see, if you want to be a doctor, you will have to live with a doctor, internist. You will have to go through this medical school, through these classes. You will have to know anatomy, physiology. How many years you spend for getting a degree, medical degree, and then you become a doctor. And you want to realize God, don't you think that it is necessary to practice some disciplines according to the instruction of a teacher? It is absolutely necessary. Otherwise, how do you know how to go? Gyanunishtha, tapasya. In the Upanishad, all Upanishads, most of the places you will find when this conversation begins. Tuttir Upanishad, భృగుర్వైవారుణి వరుణం పితరముపససారౌదిహి వగవ బ్రహ్మేతి. భృగు, ది గ్రేట్ సేజ్, వెంట్ టు హిస్ ఫాదర్ వరుణ అండ్ ఆస్క్డ్ ఫాదర్, ఒదిహి బ్ర భగవ బ్రహ్మేతి, ప్లీజ్ టీచ్ మీ అబౌట్ బ్రహ్మ. తపసా బ్రహ్మ విజిజ్ఞాసస్వ, ది ఫాదర్ ఆస్క్డ్ హిమ్, ఫస్ట్ ప్రాక్టీస్ డిసిప్లిన్ ఆస్టారిటీ, గో త్రూ దిస్ డిసిప్లిన్ దెన్ కమ్ అండ్ ఆస్క్ అబౌట్ బ్రహ్మ. తపో బ్రహ్మేతి స తపస్తప్వ ఇదగుం, హీ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆస్టారిటీ అండ్ కేమ్ బ్యాక్ ఆఫ్టర్ ఎ ఇయర్ టు హిస్ ఫాదర్ అండ్ సేజ్, ఫాదర్ నౌ టీచ్ మీ అబౌట్ బ్రహ్మ. Through this austerity, why, how, what did you learn? Annam brahmeti vyajanat, food is Brahman. Body dies if there is no food. So I think food is Brahman. Go back. What is Brahman? Prana is Brahman, vital food. Breathing, this energy is Brahman. Go back, your mind is not yet purified. Then came back after a year, what is Brahman? I think mind is Brahman. Go back. After 1 year, again the son came to his father, what is Brahman? I think intellect is Brahman. Vijnanam brahmeti vyajanat, go back. Fifth time he came, what is Brahman? Anandam brahmeti vyajanat, bliss is Brahman. In this way, this student experienced the five sheaths of the soul. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya, physical sheath, vital sheath, mental sheath, intellectual sheath, and blissful sheath. These five sheaths he meditated. On these five sheaths he meditated and got experience. But what happens? What type of experience comes when you are connected with body? What type of experience comes when you are connected with the vital force? When you are connected with the mind? When you are connected with the intellect? When you are connected with bliss? Means ignorance, that blissful sheath. In this way, he continued 75 years. Then the father said, yato vachani vartande apraipa manasa saho tad brahmeyo tad brahma iti. Where the mind comes back, where the mind cannot reach, this is Brahman, the substratum, the cosmic consciousness. In this way he explained that supreme reality. So you see, without tapasya, if the father would say, if the son would come and say, what is Brahman? Brahman is satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Brahman is truth. Brahman is infinity. Brahman is consciousness. The son would not understand. The son had to go through these disciplines. And then he understood. That Krishna said, bahavu jnanu tapasa. After many people, listen Arjuna, I promise. Don't think that it is impossible. Many people attain me by practicing these disciplines. What are these disciplines? That be unattached, non-attachment, free from anger, free from greediness, free from fearless fear, and thinking of me and taking refuge in me. Practice all these four or five things I told you in the beginning. And then you will be able to conquer your fear, desire and other things. You know, you may think that Swami, I may try. But many times I know I fail. We do. We fail many times. Every day we do not get that very deep meditation. It depends upon the mind. It depends upon the body. It depends upon the food. It depends upon the environment. Suppose one day you ate too much, you can't meditate that day. You talk too much, you cannot get good meditation that day. Can't. Impossible. Because your body is heated. If you are not following the middle path, it is very difficult to get deep concentration. If you are too lazy, there is no hope for you. If you are too active, there is also very difficult for you to concentrate. Krishna will tell us in the 6th chapter of the Gita how to meditate. Here Krishna mentioned Gyanunishtha, that follow this path of knowledge, Arjuna. You will reach me. Your mind will be purified. What does he mean? Swami, you use that word purification, purification. Do you know what is purification? This mind is a strange phenomenon. This mind, when it is connected with the worldly objects, it becomes impure. Impure means it becomes clouded. And that when this mind is with the spirituality, with God, it becomes transparent. That is called purity. Purity means here people understand purity in a different way, you know. But real purity, when Vedanta says pure, pure means free from ignorance. Free. The moment if you can remove the ignorance, immediately desire and doubt, which make cloud in the mind, will disappear. That is called purity in Vedanta. The mind which is free from desire and doubt. Desire means worldly desire. I want million, I want this, I want that, I want this. But you know, it does not stop your desire, your food, your clothing, your necessities, that which is not obstructed, which is not the obstruction to your spiritual life, is permissible. But you know, Gandhi used to say that if you have too many things, you know, your mind will be scattered. Ramakrishna mentioned, you know, about Jodhu Mallik, that he does not want to buy any real estate, but he is bargaining in front of Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna said, are you really going to buy that property? Oh no, master, I am just trying something. Then why are you misusing your energy? Try to fix your mind in God. You have plenty to do. Now you think of the Lord. But Swami, why Krishna talked about this way? Madhbhava Magata, he attains me, he gets all my divinity. What does it mean? It means you are a mother, you have a child, and the child is full of dirt, you know. You cannot take that child on your lap because your cloth will be spoiled. So what do? You wash your baby and then you take your baby in your lap. Same thing. God cannot take a person who is full of desire and doubt and greedy, this thing. He cannot take his child. So Krishna says, that if you want union, if you want that liberation, you will have to get rid of these things, impurities, means ignorance. Sri Ramakrishna said, these 4 or 5 people never get knowledge. He who has ego of his learning, jat panditya rahankar, about erudition, jat dhani rahankar, about ego for wealth, they don't get knowledge. People say, I and mine, this is ignorance. People say that Rashmani Kalibadi Kurachan, Rani Rashmani made this Kali temple. But nobody says that this temple was built by the wish of God. There are 2 signs of knowledge. First, Kutustha Buddhi, his intellect is steady. He is never perturbed by trials and tribulations. He has tremendous purushakar, self-determination, that this greediness, this, you know, anger, these things are disturbing my meditation. I shall give up. And they give up. They have tremendous willpower. There are 2 more signs of knowledge. First, anurag. They have tremendous love for God. Second, kundalini shakti jagaran. Their kundalini rises. And when that kundalini rises, he yearns, longs for God.
All right. Do we have any questions?
Do you know how it works? This question was asked to the Holy Mother during the First World War. There was terrible massacre, and Holy Mother used to get all information about the Great World War I in 1914-15. And somebody said that Sri Ramakrishna came, Mother, look, what a terrible massacre. People say that when God incarnates, there is peace, you know, there is happiness, there is joy. We don't see that peace, happiness in this world. There is a terrible massacre. Holy Mother said, look, when there is cyclone, first comes the wind, gusty wind. And that gusty wind blows dirt. I do not know, you do not say, I saw in the countryside, you know, muddy road, not paved road, you know, earth. When the dust blows, you know, it can blind you. It is hard to breathe when that cyclone comes, especially in our place in April and May. Our rainy season begins in later part of June. July and August actually rainy season. April, May, May, June, summer, July, August, rainy season. September, October, we call it autumn. November, December, fall, January, December, January, in this way, you know, it is summer and then comes spring. Anyhow, in this way it would be. But that time, just before, just in the middle of the summer, this thing happens. First comes wind, gusty wind. Then comes rain. When rain comes, all dust settles on the ground. And there is a beautiful, you know, calmness you will find in nature. So when the incarnation of God comes, like a cyclone, it blows away all dirt and rose of the society. So, you know, we find affable, there is something, you know, wrong, yeah, all these things go on. But later on, they settle. Then comes rain. But anyhow, if you ask me, Swami, really what happens when the divine incarnation comes? You see, the current, water current, goes this direction. And if time comes that, you know, it must change, it is bound to change. When it goes near the ocean current will change this current and it will go to make high tide. I take this way. Religion also declines. When selfishness comes, hypocrisy, selfishness, double dealing, lie, shrewdness, motivation, power game start in religion, that religion declines immediately. Commercialism, cheating, that religion must decline. Only two things are the preservative of religion, purity and renunciation. That makes religion strong, living, vivid. Christ, when we think of Christ, Christ means embodiment of purity, embodiment of non-attachment. Do you know, Bindu Swami, why do you talk that one renunciation, non-attachment? Do you know, if a person is attached to the world, he cannot be attached to God. Believe Swami, what about ourselves? We are devotees. Devotees are different class, Sri Ramakrishna mentioned. You people are not ordinary people. There is a different class, Sri Ramakrishna said. They are in the world, but their minds are not in the world. That Sri Ramakrishna said. Let boat be in the water, but not water in the boat. Otherwise, that boat will sink. He mentioned, you people are special people. Though you are in the world, you will have to earn money, you have a duty, wife, children, family, all these things, you will have to take care of all this. But your minds are in God. Well, Swami, all the time our minds are not in the God. That is all right. Sri Ramakrishna mentioned, if a devotee thinks of God only once, Do you know? He says, she bish mon pathor thele bhagavan ke dekhbar chesta korche. His own words. That person is 20 tons heavy stone on his head. And he is pushing that stone out and is trying to see God. His that little effort is equivalent to a monk's 10 hours meditation. His sincerity is genuine. That Sri Ramakrishna said. He gave an example that Narada, you know, he was very proud because all the time he is playing his veena and chanting the name of the Lord. And Narada, you go and see that farmer, what does he do? He was very proud of his, you know, of his spiritual, you know, practice. So he went and saw that farmer chanted Lord's name once when he went to the ground for plowing. And when he came back, he chanted once and went to bed in the evening. Then Narada was thinking, well, he chanted Lord's name twice, I chant all the time. So I am higher, I am superior to that man. Then Krishna gave a cup of oil and said, Narada, you move around and come to me. Narada moved around and said, be careful, not a drop of oil should be spilled. Narada came back, Krishna asked, how many times did you think of me? Not a single time, Lord, because I was busy. You asked me, be careful about the oil cup. For a drop of oil, you could not think of me. Look, the devotee, a householder. He has wife, he has children, he has responsibility. He got chance, he had time to repeat my name twice. And you did not get the chance only once. Thakur mentioned the devotees are different type of people. They do not belong to the world. But the aim wanted to be a monk. Sri Ramakrishna discouraged him. Aim, after writing the gospel, came to Holy Mother and wanted to give the right of those gospels, 5 volumes, to the Ramakrishna order. Holy Mother said, no, you have wife, you have children, and that income of those books will go to them. Just see, Holy Mother was not greedy. She could easily say, oh, good, 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 you give money, you buy something for me, this and that. No, my son, you will not have to give the right of your books to the Ramakrishna order. Still now, those books belong to his descendants, his grandsons. They are now taking care of that publication department. Holy Mother's order, they are not ordinary people. This is, you know, Sri Ramakrishna in the gospel we find that Sri Ramakrishna built a special group of people, formed a special group of devotees. They will live in the world. But their minds are being God. If wanted monks, your duty is this. You devotees, your duty is this. Both should go side by side. You are a pilgrim. We monks are also the pilgrim. Both go side by side. It does not depend upon, you see, God realization does not depend upon monastic vows or a householder's life. I tell you again and again. Whereas you people think of God more than me. Who knows? Om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrittor ma amritam gamaya avirabhirma yadhi rudra yatte dakshinamukam tenamam pahi nityam om shanti shanti shanti